Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Come on, stand to your feet all over the room today. Oh man, I am so excited. Man, I haven't spoken in 2 weeks, so I came fired up and ready. I hope you're ready. Some of us, yes, that's it. You're going to get with me before the day's over. Can I tell you, even when the Bengals lose, God still wins. Come on, somebody. Come on. But I'm excited to get into the Word with you today. Before I do that, there's one thing I got to remind you. How many of you guys saw that the Maker's Christmas Market is coming in December right here? Anybody see that this weekend? Now, I want to tell you why this is important. We started this last year committed to blessing families at Christmas time. It is our vision this year to bless 400 families in our community and city with Christmas right here at Makers Church. And I want to tell you, you are such an integral part of saying yes to that because there's so many things we want to do. And one of those is this, as we get closer to December 9th and 10th that weekend, every family here's got an opportunity to bless another family that's coming with a complete Christmas dinner. And so we're going to, in the next coming weeks, you're going to get a chance to pick up a box that's got a list of items in it and then bring it back on Christmas market weekend. And that box is not just going to feed them physically, but it's going to bless them spiritually. And you get a chance to be a part of that. And I just want to tell you, how many of you guys know that we've been blessed to be a blessing? We're going to bless 400 families in Jesus' name. Listen, we just launched it over the weekend. We've already had over $8,000 given to the market for everything that we're going to do and see in Jesus' name. Come on. That's the Lord. That's the provision of heaven. When you say yes to loving people, God will provide resources every time. Every time. And so we are so excited. And here's how you can help as we get started in two ways. We're promoting it already on social media. If you haven't, go to our page and share it. Instagram, Facebook, tag somebody. If there's a family in need that we can bless, everything they get will be completely free. Everything will be free. Help us spread the word and share what God wants to do in their lives through Makers Church this Christmas season. And we are so excited. And then finally, if you want to be a part of that weekend, you can hop on our website or our app and you can volunteer to serve during that weekend. It's going to be an incredible time. Lives are going to be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I've got a word from the Lord today, and I believe that before this day is over, there is going to be a fresh anointing from heaven released on every heart and every mind in this room. God wants to speak to us. I believe we're stepping into a new season. We're almost at the end of 2022. Can you believe that? We're almost at the end of 2022, and I don't know about you. I want to finish as intentionally as I started. I want to finish as intentionally as I started. And so I believe God's got something he wants to deposit and release to us today. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't happen when you're like this. Happens when you're like this. When you're ready to receive. So I want everybody to open up your hands like you're getting ready to catch something. Because I believe the word of the Lord's here today to just wreck us in a supernatural way. So Father, we invite you, Lord, over the next few minutes, God, to rule and reign in this house. God, I pray that you soften every heart. God, you open up every spiritual ear to hear what you are saying. And God, as you are releasing fresh oil, God, over this house and over every heart and mind, God, may it take root and may it bear fruit, and may we leave empowered and encouraged and equipped, God, to be the men and women of God that shine bright in the earth and in Cincinnati for the kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. If you're ready, somebody shout amen. Amen. Come on, be seated, church, all over the room. Hallelujah. Man, I am so thankful that we get into the Word this morning. And listen, my assignment today is really, this is a corporate, but it's a very personal Word. And I believe that it is going to encourage you and empower you and equip you. And really, it's appropriate because as we get into the month of November, we're finishing our Greater Than 20 initiative that we've had for the second half of this year at Makers Church. And this month, we are committed to shining. Somebody shout shine. How many of you guys know that we were saved to shine? We were saved to shine, just like we were saved to share. We were saved to sow. We were saved to serve. We have also been saved to shine. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine through your good deeds. Come on. The things that you do, the things that you say, how you live your life, the light of Jesus is supposed to shine through us that others see that light and they glorify our Father who is in heaven. We're supposed to shine. And I believe during this month, we're going to be talking about shining today, but I just want to encourage you. Let's finish this year not distracted from holidays, but shining with the purpose of heaven through our lives in Jesus' name. If you believe that, somebody say amen. But we're focused on shining this month, and you're going to hear a little bit about that today. But my assignment this morning, church, is to preach on this subject, to preach on this subject. They're looking for you. They're looking for you. My son, Brennan, and when he sat in my lap yesterday while I was studying, he said, Daddy, your sermon title sounds like a spooky movie. So I can assure you this is not from M. Night Shyamalan or Stephen King. But I will tell you, I thought about those Liam Neeson movies, especially those Taken movies. And I was like, man, when my daughter turns 25 and I allow her to date, come on somebody, every dad in the room with daughters knows what I'm talking about. When she turns 25 and I let her date for the first time, if that boy don't have her back by 10 o'clock, I'm gonna look him in the face and say, I will find you and I will get you, make no doubt about it, because that's my baby girl. Come on now. But I want you to do this because we're about to get into the word. I want you to look somebody around you in your neighborhood. I want you to take your pointer finger and point it right in their face and say, they're looking for you. Come on, tell them. They're looking for you. They're looking for you. I know that sounds funny, but in all seriousness, church, there is a they in this world right now that's looking for you. There is a they. There are people right now in this world that are looking for you. And I know someone's immediately thinking, Pastor, why would people be looking for me? Let me expound upon this. Because if you're in right relationship with Jesus, how many of you guys are in relationship with Jesus? Come on. If you love Jesus in this room, hallelujah. If you're in right relationship with Jesus, that makes you a citizen of the kingdom of God on the earth. And so that means, church, that people are looking for you because of who you are and who you represent. Because of who you are and who you represent, there are people in this world that are looking for you. And I've got great news today. God has chosen you and God has anointed you to help find those people as they're looking for you. If you believe that, somebody say amen. Let me show you what I mean though from God's word. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 9 and 10. Here's what the Bible says. It says, but you are the chosen ones by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something and from rejected to accepted. If that's your story, somebody give God praise just for a minute. Come on, that's your story if you're in the kingdom. But even in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, the Apostle Paul said that each of us are like living epistles, that our lives are in such a way that people see and read how we live based on what God's done in our lives. So I just want to speak for a minute to the core of every person in the room and every person joining online. Let me just declare the truth. You are loved by a heavenly Father. You are loved by a heavenly Father. You are chosen. You are special to God. You are his prized possession. You're royalty. You're a priest and a minister unto God and for God. You are holy. You are set apart. And you are all of these things that you would proclaim the praises and declare the glory of God, because he called you out of darkness and put you into his marvelous light. If you're thankful that's who you are, I need somebody to give the Lord praise in this house today. That's who we are because of Jesus. But I go further because the truth is, because of God's unfathomable love for you, God brought you out of death and put you into life. God transferred you from sadness to joy. He gave your mourning and gave you dancing. He took you out of judgment and put you in forgiveness. And that is who you are, and that's what God has done for you. Come on, if you're thankful, somebody shout amen. And because of this church, because of who you are and what God has done in your life, there are so many in this world looking for you because they were designed to live the life that you're living right now. They were created to know God like you know God. And you guys know the Bible says that God wishes no man should perish. They were created to walk with the Father the way you're walking with the Father. And even though they don't know it, there's a God-sized void in their heart that only Jesus can fill. There's a place in them that only Jesus could change from the inside out. Just like that's your story, that's their story. And even though they may not fully understand it, they're looking for who you are and who you represent. Come on, look to somebody around you and say, they're looking for you. Come on, they're looking for you. They're looking for you. They're looking for you. You say, well, Pastor, it looks like they condemn who we are. Listen, I know their flesh might condemn Jesus, but their spirits are craving Jesus. Their spirits are craving Jesus. Listen, millions of people right now, church, they are searching for acceptance and hope and freedom and love, and they keep putting their faith in all the wrong places. They keep putting their trust in all the wrong places. How many of you guys know people keep putting their trust in governments ran by donkey and elephants, but they need to put their trust in a kingdom that's led by the Lion of the tribe of Judah and by a Lamb who was slain for the sin of the world. By the way, on Tuesday, you've got a twofold obligation as a part of the kingdom of God. You better pray in the Holy Ghost and you better go vote. You better go vote kingdom values and believe that God, listen, how many of you guys know that when the people of God pray, God can step in and God can move and God can work? So you need to pray and then you need to go and vote and say, Lord, may we be one nation under God again in Jesus' name. But people keep looking and searching and putting their trust and faith in all the wrong places. People keep filling up stadiums, convinced that sports will bring joy, but only the Savior of the world can bring joy. So many people are consumed with entertainment by other people, but they were created to encounter the presence of Yahweh in their lives. They were designed for those things, just like we were made for them. They are made for them. They can't explain it, but they are searching for the kingdom they were created to be a part of. And we as God's people, church, we have been supernaturally anointed. Somebody say anointed. We have been supernaturally anointed to reflect and represent the kingdom of God wherever we go. Wherever we go. God has anointed you. Somebody say, God has anointed me to advance his kingdom. This is important because I need you to hear me. God will never anoint anyone he doesn't intend to use. God will never anoint anyone he doesn't intend to use. Now, for clarification's sake, because some of you guys think anointing is a churchy word. No, it's a kingdom word. Let me explain and teach for a minute. When I say anointing, what is anointing? The anointing is God's endorsement and endowment on your life. The anointing of God is God's endorsement and endowment, meaning this, when God anoints you, he says, I have chosen you and empowered you. I have chosen you and I have empowered you. You see, the word anoint in scriptures is the Hebrew word mishkal. It's the Hebrew word mishkal. It indicates a consecration to service. It means you have been empowered and endued for service. Pastor, why is this important? Because we got too many church celebrities running around churches acting like they've been anointed to star in something, but the anointing is not for status, it is for service. The anointing of God on your life is not so you can be the star of anything, but the anointing of God is on your life so you can serve everybody and advance the kingdom of God. If you believe that, somebody say amen. And so we have to understand something about the anointing. God chooses us and God empowers us, but he does not do that so we can be known. He does that so we can advance the kingdom of God in the earth. He uses people that he anoints to bring truth, to shine in the world for him. That's why we are anointed. How many of you guys want some fresh anointing from heaven today? I believe God's gonna do it over in this place. He did it in first service and it was supernatural. But listen, church, he does this. He desires to use us in this season to continue to reveal his kingdom. Why? Because they're looking for you and for me. They're looking for you and for me. And before you even have time to doubt what I'm saying, before fear or intimidation can even try to come against you in this moment, we're gonna make a declaration over our life of who we are as kingdom citizens. And it's a declaration, you know, because we say it every week. Are you ready to say it with me? Come on. I am a maker made by the maker to make disciples and make a difference. If you know that's true over your life, somebody shout amen. But I'm gonna go a step further. Now I want you to say this, say, I am the one. Now come on, shout it with passion. I am the one. Now look to your neighbor and point at them again. Say, you are the one. Come on, tell them, you are the one. You are the one. Hey, sir, you're the one. Hey, ma'am, you're the one. Hey, young person, you're the one. God looks at us and he has anointed us to be the ones that shine bright in the world so other people can know the same Jesus that we know. Come on, somebody say, I'm the one. I'm the one, I'm the one. So now that's just my introduction. Let's get into this thing. 1 Samuel chapter 8, come on. You ain't going nowhere. The game don't start till 1:15 technically anyway. You're good. 1 Samuel chapter 8. The nation of Israel wants a king. And they tell God's prophet Samuel that they want a king to judge them like all the other nations and lead them into battle. They were looking for somebody to lead. They were looking for somebody to be the one. They were looking for somebody to be the one. Now this, if you know context about anything, this is a historical time for Israel. This had never happened. It was a big deal. It was shifting the future of the country and nation of Israel forever. And I'll be honest with you, it wasn't the future that God desired for them. How many of you guys know God still lets us choose? Oh, you don't want to talk about that? How many of you guys know we all have freedom to choose? They wanted something that God did not want for them, but because he lets the people choose, he let them choose. But this is a historical time because they said they wanted to be like every other nation. They forgot that they were supposed to be different than every other nation. See, up until this point, they were a theocracy, but now they said they wanted to be a monarchy. They said they wanted a human king. They wanted a king. And so even though God was not pleased with their desire, God gives his prophet Samuel instructions on what is about to take place in regards to a king. So we pick up in this story in 1 Samuel. I got a few passages of scripture I got to read. How many of you guys know it's good to read the Bible in church? Come on. How many of you guys know you shouldn't just read the Bible in church? You should read it at home. You should read it at work. They got it. How about you guys like to read at home, like to read? Just them? Okay. So you guys like to read the Bible. Hallelujah. Maybe they like to pray. We'll find out. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to pick up on the story right here. 1 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to start with verses 1 through 7. There was a wealthy, influential man named Kish from the tribe of Benjamin. He was the son of Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Becherath, son of Aphiah, of the tribe of Benjamin. And just for the record, I don't care how many times you practice those words, you always mess them up when it's live. Every time, every time, every time. His son Saul was the most handsome man in Israel, head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land. One day, Kish's donkey strayed away, and he told Saul, "Take a servant with you and go look for the donkeys." Everybody say, go look for the donkeys. So Saul took one of the servants and traveled through the hill country of Ephraim, the land of Shalishah, the Shalem area, and the entire land of Benjamin, but they couldn't find the donkeys anywhere. Finally, they entered the region of Zuph, and Saul said to his servant, "Let's go home. By now, my father will be more worried about us than about the donkeys. But the servant said, I just thought of something. There's a man of God who lives here in this town. He is held in high honor by all the people because everything he says comes true. Let's go find him. Perhaps he can tell us which way to go. But we don't have anything to offer him, Saul replied. Even our food is gone, and we don't have a thing to give him. So let's give context. Here was Saul and his servants searching everywhere for these donkeys. I mean everywhere. And the Lord allowed those donkeys to get loose because he had ordained a divine appointment between Saul and Samuel. Can I just preach this for a minute? There are some things that God will let happen in your life that you think is chaos, but there is a divine order and reason that he lets it happen. Because there are certain times you need to meet certain people or step into certain rooms or situations. And so when you don't understand it, but it's still happening, just trust God. They're still with me over here. You guys, come on now. But they're looking for these donkeys. They can't find them. But let's go further. 1 Samuel 9. Now that was 1 through 7. Let's read verses 14 through 21. So they entered the town, and as they passed through the gates, Samuel was coming out toward them to go up to the place of worship. Now the Lord had told Samuel the previous day, about this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him to be the leader of my people, Israel. He will rescue them from the Philistines, for I have looked down on my people in mercy and have heard their cry. When Samuel saw Saul, that's fun. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said, that's the man I told you about. He will rule my people. Just then Saul approached Samuel at the gateway and asked, can you please tell me where the seer's house is? How many of you guys know the word seer is another word for prophet? Can you please tell me where the seer's house is? Samuel answered, I am the seer. Go on up ahead of me to the place for worship. You and your servant will eat with me today. I will let you go home tomorrow morning. I will answer all your questions. And don't worry about the donkeys that you lost 3 days ago. They have been found. You know, Saul was like, "Woo! He knows everything." He didn't know nothing about them donkeys. He shouldn't have. They have been found. Now, there is something that everyone in Israel, notice this, there is something that everyone in Israel is looking for. And that something is you and your family. Verse 21, Saul answered, but I am a member of the tribe of Benjamin. It is the smallest tribe in Israel. And my family is the smallest in the tribe of Benjamin. Why do you say Israel wants me? Now let's go quickly to 1 Samuel 10 before we can finish and get into this. 1 Samuel 10 verses 20 through 24. So now we come to where Samuel has brought all the tribes of Israel before the Lord. The tribe of Benjamin was chosen by lot. Then he brought each family of the tribe of Benjamin before the Lord, and the family of the Matrites was chosen. And finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen from among them. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared. So they asked the Lord, where is he? And the Lord replied, he is hiding among the baggage. So they found him and brought him out, and he stood head and shoulders above anyone else. Then Samuel said to the people, this is the man the Lord has chosen as your king. No one in Israel is like him. There are 3 points I read from these texts that I believe that we need to understand because they are looking for us and it is our season to rise and shine for the kingdom of God in the world. Are you ready? Point number one, here we go. Don't chase donkeys, chase destiny. What did 1 Samuel 9 verse 4 say? So Saul took one of the servants and traveled through the hill country of Ephraim, the land of Shalishah, the Shalem area, the entire land of Benjamin. But they couldn't find the donkeys anywhere. Now, this is important because you just declared something over your life just a few minutes ago where you said that you were a maker made by the maker to make disciples and make a difference, that you've been anointed by God to advance his kingdom. Even 1 Peter 2:9, remember, you're chosen by God for the high calling to be his instrument to speak out and do his work. Why is this important? If you're called by God to do stuff for him, you cannot get sucked into the trap of spending your time on the earth chasing and pursuing frivolous things. Let me go ahead and say it. That phone is not your best friend. That phone is a spirit of distraction, and you better watch out how much time you spend on it. You don't have time. If you've been anointed by God and called by God and given his endorsement and endowment, you don't have time to waste your time chasing temporal things. So hear me when I say it. Don't chase what's temporal, but prioritize what's eternal. Prioritize the things that matter to God first. Come on, somebody. Prioritize the things that matter to God first. Don't let yourself get distracted pursuing the things of the world. Pursue the King. Pursue His kingdom. Shine wherever God has placed you and whatever He has put into your hands. Let's talk about this. How many of you guys know in biblical times, donkeys represented and symbolized industry and wealth? They symbolize those things back in biblical times. Can I tell you, we still live in a world today that is consumed with chasing industry and business and wealth. We live in a society where those things are chased after. Listen, even some of you in this room, God has given you the ability to create business and generate wealth, but you better hear me. Even though you can create it, don't you chase after them. Even though you can create it, don't you chase after it, because those things will never lead to your destiny, because your destiny is not found in the wealth of the world. Your destiny is found in the will of God for your life. We live in a society consumed with chasing followers and likes and fame, but can I tell you, we should be consumed with choosing faithfulness, love, and fruitfulness instead. We live in a society where people choose temporal things that will never bring us into destiny. The reality is they will keep you distracted from what's most important. See, you declared a second ago that you're a difference maker, but I need you to hear me in this room. Distracted people don't make a difference. They just make a mess. And so you don't have time to be distracted if you've been anointed by God to shine in this world for His kingdom. The people that are looking for you, they're not looking for more distracted people. They're looking for people walking in destiny. They're not looking for similar. They're looking for set apart. So hear me. Go ahead and be different. Go. Somebody say, I'll be different. I'm gonna be different. If God's made a difference in you, then you're different already. So go ahead and embrace it. Go ahead and be different. Why is it okay to be different? Go ahead and be different and shine in the world so people can see what it's like to be in this world but not be of this world. To be in this world but not be of this world. Let's go further for a minute because there's still something more we've got to extract. 1 Samuel says the donkey strayed and ran away, but Saul went looking for them. Some of you guys need to hear me on this one. Stop chasing what God has removed or let leave your life. Stop going after what God has removed or let leave your life. Listen to me, church. If God removed that thing or He let that relationship move away from you, it's because those things or that person was hindering you from where you have been designed to go. Really, Pastor? Absolutely. Some of you need to get the gift of goodbye in your life. And if God moves them, say goodbye to them and keep going. Stop grieving over what God calls to go. Come on, everybody, just let that spirit go on you. Everybody say, let it go. Come on, let it go. But Pastor, I didn't want to let it go. Well, thank God God knows better than you do, because those very things or people may have been holding you back when God said, I want you to go that direction. You don't have time to be distracted. If God let them go and don't chase after them, but go in the right direction and chase after the destiny that God has for your life. If you believe that, somebody say amen. We've got to recognize in this season, we don't have time to chase after things. The kingdom of God does not go backwards. It's always moving forward. What did the Apostle Paul say in Philippians 3? He said, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm not chasing desires. I'm chasing destiny. I'm not going after possessions. I'm going after purpose. I'm not trying to live in my comfort. I'm trying to walk in the call of God upon my life. So you don't have time to chase donkeys, because you got to chase your destiny in Jesus' name. Look to your neighbor and say, go after destiny. Come on, go after destiny. Go after destiny. Number two, don't chase donkeys, chase destinies. Number two, Don't cover up, stand up. Don't cover up, stand up. What if 1 Samuel 10, remember, 21 through 23, says, finally Saul, son of Kish, was chosen from among them. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared. So they asked the Lord, where is he? And the Lord replied, he is hiding among the baggage. God's chosen man was hiding among the baggage. He was the one, but he was hiding. He couldn't stand up because he was covered up. People of God, don't hide and cover up. Don't hide and cover up. God chose you to stand up, not cover up. You have been called and anointed to stand up. Don't hide among the baggage. Stand up and let those looking for you see the God in you. Stand up and shine in the world, and don't let things keep you down and covered. If you believe that, somebody say amen. See, this is important for so many reasons, church, but we cannot get to a place where we let ourselves be covered up with things in our lives. Why? Because you have been anointed to be a light in the darkness. You're a leader filled with heavenly authority and anointing, and leaders don't stay buried. Leaders rise up in Jesus' name. Leaders, rise up in Jesus' name. But see this, the spiritual application of hiding among the baggage is a big deal, church, because even today, Satan does everything he can to keep the sons and daughters of God covered up with baggage. I'll never forget the first time that we flew with my kids to a destination, because we packed the whole house. Can I get a witness from somebody? Had two kids. I had Brennan when I was 26. I can still tell you, I was not ready for what was about to ensue. But the first time we flew, we packed the whole house. We're in the airport, and I was literally covered with baggage. I had a backpack on my back. I had a backpack on my chest. I had stuffed animals under my arms and around the stuffed animals with their blankets. I had a booster seat and breakfast in one hand, and I was pulling the carry-on with the other hand. And all I was trying to do was just get to our gate without having a nervous breakdown. Come on, somebody. I was covered. I was weighed down. Everybody else was just walking all happy and scot-free. And I'm like, can you guys wait up a minute? I'm dragging here. Come on. Help me out. And so I remember that because I was so covered with baggage in that moment. But I want to tell you something, church. We can relate to this, because the truth is our baggage really is hardly ever physical. But the baggage that Satan tries to bring against us is spiritual and emotional baggage. I'm gonna preach now for a minute. I need you to get with me. The enemy tries to bring spiritual and emotional baggage. He tries to weigh you down with the baggage of your past. He tries to weigh you down with the baggage of poor and bad decisions. He tries to put baggage on you of sinful habits, or baggage of insecurities, or the baggage of doubt or comparison or unforgiveness or disbelief or bitterness or anger or disappointment, maybe even failed expectations. He'll try to keep you with the baggage covered up of addiction and bondage. But can I tell you, don't let yourself get covered up by baggage, because some of you, you're covered up by so much baggage, you're not able to shine with the truth and love of God and carry the kingdom of God where you're called to go, because you're so covered. But hear me today, there is good news. The only thing that's supposed to cover you is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Listen, when the blood of Jesus covers you, the blood of Jesus will set you free from baggage. You say, Pastor, what's the difference between the blood and baggage? Where the baggage will weigh you down, the blood will raise you up, and you'll walk in freedom, you'll walk in life, you'll walk in peace, you'll walk in joy in Jesus' name. If I've got anybody thankful for the blood, I need you to give the Lord a shout of praise in this room. I told you I was ready to preach today. I've been out 2 weeks. But listen, church, the blood of Jesus covers us, cleanses us, changes us, So it's time we stop being held down by baggage in our lives. It's time that we stand up with boldness and authority as the people of God, and we shine in the world for the kingdom. Because when the lost see the light, they see God in you, and they will find out what you already know, that there is nobody that can satisfy them like Jesus can. That's what we need to be doing in our lives. So listen to me, church. You are chosen. You're chosen by God to impact his kingdom. You're chosen to reach others for Christ. They're looking for you because all they've ever known is a life of baggage covered in sin and darkness. But you're the one to let them know that God can take the baggage and replace it with blessings in every part of their lives. Come on, somebody say, I'm the one. Come on, they're looking for you because you're the one. They need to see that they have been chosen, just like you have been chosen as sons and daughters. So stop hiding behind baggage and stand up and rise up in boldness and in the light of God's truth, and let the world see the power of God inside of you. Number three, very simple. What is it? Somebody say, I am the one. Be the one. Be the one. First Samuel. Samuel looks at Saul and he says, now there is something that everyone in Israel is looking for. And that something is you and your family. He said, hey, Saul, you're the one. Saul, you're the one. Listen. Each of us and all of us have been anointed to reach people with the reality of Jesus. I don't know if you can notice a theme over the last several weeks, but the Lord keeps bringing voices into the house to remind us that each of us and all of us have been anointed to reach others with the gospel of the kingdom. Come on, if you know that's you, say, I'm the one. I'm the one. See, here's what we have to see if we're understanding that God's telling us to be the one. See, just like Saul, there is something that people at your job, people at your gym, people in your neighborhood, people in your community, people in your city, there is something that people are looking for, and that something is you and the kingdom of God inside of you. They're looking for you. Look to your neighbor and say, they're looking for you. Now look to your other neighbor and say, be the one. They are looking for you and your kingdom family. Millions of people are looking and searching, and it's because they need a savior and a king. People need a family and a tribe who will love them and accept them. And you better hear me, Makers Church. We are who they are looking for. This family and this army named Makers Church, we are the ones. They're looking for us, but we've got to be willing to stand and say, even though I don't understand it, even though I'm not the most qualified or gifted, I'll be the one that shines to people, bring them to Jesus in the kingdom in Jesus' name. If that's you, somebody shout amen. Be the one. Be the one. Be the one. But if we're honest, sometimes it's hard to believe and live that way because we respond a lot like Saul did in 1 Samuel 9. I'm from the smallest tribe and the smallest family in that tribe. What would Israel want with me? Too often, what do we say? Someone comes today and says, you're the one, you've been anointed, you're the one, you're the one, you're the one, be the one. We say, what would people want with me? What would God want with me? Please be encouraged and hear me when I say this. God is looking for natural, ordinary people to do supernatural, extraordinary things in and through. Let me say it one more time so you can hear it. God is looking for natural, ordinary people to do supernatural, extraordinary things in and through. God is not looking for the strong, he's looking for the surrendered. God is not looking for the well-known, he's looking for the willing. God is looking. He is looking for those who will take steps of faith over fear. If you will make yourself available, God will make you able. He will make you able. If he has put the kingdom of God inside of you, listen, he has given you the power to reveal it and advance the kingdom. Just like they're looking for you. Can I tell you in this room this morning, church, God is looking for those who will say, I'll be the one. Come on, if that's you, say, I'll be the one. I'll be the one, I'll be the one, I'll be the one. They're looking at the mall, they're looking at the grocery store, they're looking at the park, they're looking at the gym. Be the one. Let the penetrating light of Jesus shine through you because they're looking for you. Because you've been anointed to be the one, hear me, stand up and be the one. Stand up and be the one. I'll never forget when God got my attention and he said, Derek, it's time to be the one. I was in college. I don't know about you, but I didn't take my relationship with God seriously when I was a teenager. I did a lot of this. Young people, just for the record, you shouldn't do this, you should do this. That's what it's supposed to be like. But I did a lot of this. But I'd gotten into a place in my life, I was 19, 20 years old. And the Lord, because he's so good, and because he loved me in spite of how I was living, he just kept drawing me close to him. And I found myself just hungry for the Lord. I started fasting. By the way, you're not supposed to play offensive line in football and lose weight, just so you know. So I couldn't tell my coaches what I was doing, but I was skipping meals, and I would get in my room, and I would pray. And I would just say, Lord, I don't understand, but I want more of you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. And I was in this place where God was doing so many just real things in my heart and my life. And I went down to Charleston to visit my sister. She was in med school down in Charleston. I was just hanging out with her. And I went to bed that night in her guest room, and I had a dream. And I don't remember a lot about the dream, but I do remember at some point in the dream, God said, go read Ezekiel chapter 2. So I woke up, and I opened up God's word to Ezekiel chapter 2. And Ezekiel chapter 2 is the commissioning and call of Ezekiel as a prophet to the nation of Israel. And with tears running down my cheeks, what he said to Ezekiel, he said, stand up, son of man. He said, for I have chosen you. He said, I have called you to go to these people and speak my word. And I sat there and I wept. And I said, Lord, I'm not the most qualified. Lord, I'm just a kid from Rock Hill, South Carolina, but I'll be the one. I'll be the one. And I went back to Wofford College where I was playing football, and I was in a constant environment of just debauchery and filth, because I hate to break it to anybody, a football locker room is not where a lot of good things take place. And I started being a light in the darkness. I started speaking truth. I started to find ways to encourage people and pray with them. And the next thing you know, if there was ever a problem on the team, they'd say, go see Wooten. He'll pray with you. He'll believe with you. The next thing I know, my coaches, they would have guys that were having issues. They'd say, go see Wooten. He'll help you. They started sending them to me for counsel and advice just because they knew I love them and I would encourage them. The next thing I know, I found myself as the team chaplain. And every day, every Saturday before the games, I would get up and I would be able to somehow encourage them from the word of God and do all those things. You know, see, some of you say, well, of course, Pastor Derek, obviously. No, 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 no. You might see the gift now, but it wasn't developed back then. All the things that you see now at 36 were different when I was 20. I didn't know anything at that point, but I knew I loved Jesus, and I knew he had called me, and I said, Lord, I will stand up no matter how hard it is, and I will be the one. And God is looking for people today, whether how qualified you think you are, whether how much of God's word you know or not, whether how long you've been walking with the Lord or not, he's just looking for people to say, will you be the one? Will you be the one to stand up and shine in the world for the kingdom of God? If you're in this room today and you say, Pastor, I'm the one, I want you to stand to your feet all over the room. If you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I want to be the one for the kingdom, I want you to stand to your feet all over the room in this house. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you something right now, church. If you will say yes to God, He will handle the rest. If you will say yes to God, He will handle the rest. They're looking for us. They're looking for you and they're looking for me. But will you be the one? Will you be the one? Because God wants to anoint you with fresh oil for this season to be the one. There are people that God wants to send to you if you'll be the one. Because they need Jesus just like you needed Jesus. So here's what we're going to do today. Because I heard the Lord say He's going to release a fresh anointing on this house. But before we do that, we're going to do something together. How many of you guys got the communion elements as you came in? I want you to go ahead and get those right now. Go ahead and open those up all over the room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to tell you why we're taking it now. What this symbolizes, Jesus became the one so you could be the one. He became the one. He became the eternal Passover lamb that took away the sin of the world so you could be the one. He took every sin. He took all the shame. He took all the punishment. He took every stripe. He took nails going into His hands and feet so we could have the chance today to be the one. He shed His blood so you didn't have to stay covered up in baggage any longer. He let His body be broken so you can understand that you can be blessed and walk in the fullness of who He is in every part of your life. And so before we want to ask God to release a fresh anointing in this room, we want to take a minute and thank Jesus that because He was willing to be the one, now we can be the one in the earth shining bright for the kingdom of God. So I want you to do this before we go any further. Because some people in this room, I'm telling you, and I felt the Lord tell me this week as I was preparing. Some people in this room, you're already fighting, saying, I'm not worthy to be the one. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, there's a warning. Go to 27, Darby. It says, don't take this in an unworthy manner. Listen to me. Without Jesus, all of us are unworthy. But because He let His body be broken and He shed His blood, you better hear me in this room. He made you worthy. Come on, somebody. He made you worthy. And as we take this today, no, He's better than we could have ever been to ourselves. That's right. No, we didn't deserve it, but He loved us anyway. I want you to take this knowing that He made you worthy as son and daughter of God. So I want you to do this morning. It's in 1 Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul said, I received this directly from the Lord. The same night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it. And He said, eat this in remembrance of me. I want you to take and break that wafer and eat it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you that you were the one so we could be the one. Lord, thank you that your body was broken, Lord, so God, we didn't have to chase after donkeys. God, we could chase destiny. Lord, thank you that your body was broken so we could be whole from the inside out. We could be whole in body and soul and spirit. Come on right now, people of God, thank him. Come on, it was his sacrifice. It was his sacrifice that brings healing. It was his sacrifice that brings wholeness to you and every part of who you are. Come on, it was his sacrifice that lets you sit down the baggage and pick up the blessing of identity in the kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy. You're worthy. Lord, thank you for making us worthy. Thank you for making us worthy. And then Jesus said in the same manner, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as you often drink it in remembrance of me. Come on, will you take and will you drink of the cup this morning? Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands all over this room and thank him for the blood. Come on, the blood that covers you and raises you up. The blood that sets us free legally in the sight of God. The blood of Jesus that is a new covenant where we have life and life forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to be the one so we can be the one. Thank you, Jesus, that you were the one, God, so I can be the one, God, to shine in the kingdom, shine in the earth for the kingdom. He's searching right now for hearts. Who will be the one? Who will be the one? Who will be the one? They're looking for you. They're looking for you. They're looking for you. If you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I'm the one. Somebody say, I'm the one. I'm the one. Here's what I want to do. And I know we're full. I want us to come if you will. Let me say this. I heard the Lord tell me that today he wanted to release a fresh anointing on your life. Say, Pastor, is that biblical? Absolutely. Go to Psalm 92. David said, you anoint me with fresh oil. Fresh oil. And he told me, because I told you earlier, the anointing, there's so many different words in the Hebrew used for anointing. There's a specific anointing that we can find in God's word. It's called the Yitshar anointing. It's called a Yitshar anointing. And this anointing that was used, this oil that was used, are you ready for this? It was an oil that was used to make things like new, and it caused to shine. I believe God wants to release a fresh anointing on your life that lets you know that you're in a new season and he's ready for you to shine in the kingdom of God because you are the one they are looking for.